Today on the show, Radical Ones, we celebrate 25 years of Bring It On, the comedy classic from 2000.
Then when you go to Nationals, bring it.
I'll bring it.
It's time to get radical.
Hello there.
It's showtime.
What is this, trick or treat?
Donate! Oh!
Did I do that?
Good morning, Charlie.
Sailor Moon, the champion of justice.
Deal with it.
Daddy would have gotten us Uzis.
The power is yours.
Get down, honey, get down.
And look, I won't go far, okay? If the apocalypse comes,
beat. Hold your fire! I'm a My human!
My name is Grace Jones.
Thunder!
Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Power 3 will
set us free. Power 3
will
set us
free.
But I ain't one to gossip, so if anyone asks you, you ain't heard from me.
No, you have.
No more room in hell.
The dead will
Welcome back, Radical Ones, to a new episode of the Radical Retro Rewind podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with Rob the Movie Geek himself for a new episode in a new year. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Ryan. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Would you say recording this review today was quite interesting already? So I can't wait for our new year ahead of us because nothing's changed with me being clumsy and every other technical issue that could happen. But here we are.
We are here. Nothing's gonna stop us now.
Jen's got spirit. How about you?
Dude, we just lost.
Ever been to a cheerleading competition? We're the best. We have fun, we work hard, and we win national championships.
Maybe we should join the squad.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty, I'm cool.
You ripped off those cheers.
We have a problem.
About what?
We're in trouble.
I swear I had no idea.
I know you didn't think a white girl made that up. We've had the best squad around for years, but no one's been able to see what we can do. But you better believe all that's gonna change this year.
Can we just beat these buffies down so I can go home?
We might have to have a rumble.
We can't go to regionals with a stolen routine.
This isn't about cheating. This is about winning.
Enough!
Now we finally have a chance to truly be the most inventive. Let's do this.
You want to make it right? Then when you go to nationals, bring it.
I'll bring it. Don't worry.
We need a new routine, something amazing and fresh.
All right, now let's do this, Clover.
We are kicking off 2025 with a movie that is also turning 25 this year. In the last 25 years, why do I feel like a lot of people just know it by the jokes, the parodies, it's already been broadened?
Don't think you fooling us because we saw you at our practice and I know you stole our routine.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about because we've always done our own cheers. Right, girls?
That's right. Right.
Well, then you better bring it.
Oh, it's already been brought in.
Nice comeback, Priscilla. Yeah.
Is it remembered beyond that from people who didn't grow up at the time?
Yeah, it's definitely been parodied in a bunch of stuff. Specifically, Not Another Teen Movie. Bring It On did create their own language. There was a lot of, you know, play on words and things like that. And, you know, very pitch perfect, right? Like, they created a little bit of their own language in that movie. But yeah, Bring It On definitely had its own sort of way of talking in San Diego where they were.
Is that how they talk out there? Because I was shocked. I forgot some of these lines.
I'm equating it with the rich white people. I'm assuming that's what the language was around that time. They weren't in LA, so I don't know.
So for anyone who hasn't seen this movie in its 25 years, and at this point, if you're a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've come across this or you know of it. And it is described as a champion high school cheerleading squad discovers its previous captain stole all their best routines from an inner city school and must scramble to compete at this year's championship. Yeah, I guess that pretty much sums it up.
I will get this out of the way and then we'll have our fun and talk jollies and you know, the great things about this movie. But for a teen movie, especially for its bubbly sort of tone and its way to connect with a younger crowd versus an older crowd, this is definitely a comedy.
Oh, yeah.
But what we are dealing with in this movie is a heavy representation of cultural appropriation. And, you know, you still see it today in the TikToks and in the grams and whatever, where you would hear a bit of audio or some kind of dance or word that comes from a different culture other than yours. And they get all the credit because they don't credit the original. They don't know where it came from, first of all. They don't want to know where it came from. They just know that it's entertaining and it's funny and it's going to get me likes. And those people will take credit for it. And that's exactly what Big Red did in this movie. She had absolutely no hesitation to take something that wasn't there. She didn't understand what she was stealing and she used it to her advantage. And because they're so separated in their own worlds and bubbles in different cities, like there's no way for her to get caught. And it's been going on forever and it is still going on today, which is why Bring It On is a classic and will always be a movie that just holds up really well. And again, like I said, I don't want to be on this, but it's just something to think about when you watch just this average teen movie about cheerleading and how heavy the message is in this movie. And I don't know if that was the intent, but this is what it looks like when you have people taking material that does not belong to you or material that you don't understand. One huge example that I will say, and then we can move on. I'm sure you guys have heard of the term Bye Felicia.
Come here.
Bye Felicia.
Do people still use that, by the way?
I have not heard it lately in my circles, but there is a literal board game based on this phrase.
What?
And its creator, as well as the people who continue to say it out there in the world, one, have no idea where it comes from. They don't know the cultural like background of it at all. And if they did know, they would literally choose not to know. Like they don't care where it comes from. And a lot of people don't know about where it comes from. It comes from a specific movie. It's just the idea. If I didn't even tell you and I presented this movie to you and be like, hey, you're going to notice something here, they're not going to want to watch it. It's just not for them. But they love to use the things that make them feel a little bit more accepted, popular, or whatever the case may be without actually understanding its background. And that is annoying. And in this movie, a lot of that was channeled a little bit watching it. But overall, I love this movie because of how fun it is. It's grounded in a way. Somebody would have to tell me if I'm wrong in this. I don't know if life is like this in San Diego, especially in 2000. Their lives were just grand. But other than that, I just, outside of all the other teen movies, I just think this movie is just embedded in realism a little bit. And we'll talk about more about that afterwards. But I kind of wanted to get out of the way and just kind of say my thing. I don't know, Ryan, if you noticed that or...
No, of course. It's funny because off camera, Rob has some of the collections of the first four movies, I want to say.
4 out of 7.
Learning, by the way, that there are 7. Totally forgetting that Rob did remind me that the last one was a horror slash comedy. Cheer or Die, I want to say.
Yeah.
Just going off that, I had wanted to see what the other movies, if they held that plot point in. But by the third, as far as I could tell, it's gone as a plot point, and it's just becoming like...
So part three actually revisits those themes a lot.
This is Solange Knowles?
Yes, one? Yes. So okay. Yeah, Hayden goes to this new school because of district or whatever, and she is just embedded into a world that, you know, is not, she doesn't know much about, and there is a little bit of clash between the races and culture behind it or whatever. And I don't know if you've seen this, but there is this thing where, and this comes out later when I give my recommendations too. Do you remember how you could watch something back in the day and you're a child and it's all new to you and you're just so mesmerized about like, oh my God, that's so cool. I could never do that. Or wow, she had great moves. Oh, and then yeah, you watch it now and you're like, oh, no.
Is it Hayden?
There's just a point in her movie where she tries to like battle and is just off so cringe, but it's her confidence that I'm just like, okay, this movie's about her. We're supposed to cheer her on. What she's doing looks good. And it's like, yeah, she's going to get her props and be one of the girls. And if you watch it now, it's so cheesy.
And didn't she play a cheerleader twice with Heroes? I know, she should have gotten Heroes, these right? moves down. My God.
Oh, that's not, no, those aren't the only two times she's played cheerleader. There's a third and it's coming up. It's coming up.
My gosh.
Yeah, they do revisit the plot point back. I mean, I don't know if that's the overall message or theme that these movies are supposed to portray, but it does give you a sort of a view, an eyes view of how, you know, one school, one district, different neighborhood could be a completely different thing than what you're used to, especially with your idea of cheerleaders as a whole. Were your cheerleaders respected in your school? Were they considered popular or cheesy or whatever? Like, do you remember?
Honestly, Rob, I feel like I pay no attention to this, by the way. As going through this movie, I actually was going to write to you. I hate high school. I was actually about to write that to you at one point.
So sucks. Yeah. No.
Never want to go through this again.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Rockettes were more popular than the cheerleaders in my school. I could be completely off with this. I feel like, though, it goes hand in hand. Popularity, cheerleaders, and sports. Right? Like, I feel like they had to have been.
Yeah, I wasn't in those circles to really notice if my cheerleaders were popular. If I remember correctly, we didn't have the best squad. Like, they would fumble on their towers, like, a lot. But there was really no disrespect either. Like, we didn't make fun of them, but I don't know if the culture was they dated the football players or the athletes. Mm. They definitely wore their uniforms often. I do remember that. But as far as, like, knowing them and voting them prom queen and all that, like, I don't think we had any of that in our school. But yeah, they were definitely known. You know, like, I cheered them on during prep rallies. I thought they were fun to watch. But overall, like, sometimes they weren't really that great.
But to get back to your original question, yeah, I do feel like that was a big part of the movie. Because once it's revealed that the cheers are stolen by this Big Red, by the way, I've hated this character since 2000. This poor actress.
Lindsay Sloan.
Lindsay Sloan.
What a feat, though. Like, for her to be able, because see, I knew her from Gross Point, and she was the quiet, mousy.
Gross Point.
She was such the sweetest girl. She wouldn't stand up to no one. And then she does this character, and I'm like blown out of my mind. I didn't think it was possible. And she pulled it off so well. But yes, Big Red is garbage. She's so bad.
And while we're at it, the boyfriend. Trash. Trash boyfriend. Trash characters, the both of them.
But I mean, who doesn't dream of dating the older man and someone who is somewhat more mature and all of that? I mean, he definitely had the looks when it came to Blonde and Blue, right? I mean, they didn't show his body. I don't know if there was a reason for it. He was in big sweaters, like big, like there was some reason why they didn't want to give him any shape, but you know.
Because he was not to be oogled or
I guess so.
Wanted in any way, because he's completely different. By the way, Richard Hillman, who we saw that had passed away, unfortunately, a few years ago, I had no idea, but it seems like this was his role that he's known for. So, but I was with her brother. I totally would have said, you know me, I would have been like, this man is not interested in you. Although he was sleeping with women, but I would have said he is going to be hooking up with men in college. This choices.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is why I enjoy this movie and its plot points, because they do talk about the stereotype of, hey, you're a man, you're a boy, why are you cheerleading? That is a girl's thing. That is not a man thing. Women do not want men who are cheerleading, or they think you're gay. And they talk about it throughout the whole movie, whether it's the football players making fun of them or just assuming that this man's cheerful, like, big smile attitude is considered gay, you know?
Jan's got spirit. Yes, he do.
Jan's got spirit. How about you?
Dude, you just lost.
And, you know, even when the woman he was with at the end was like, you're a cheerleader, and she completely gets turned off, it does come with a little bit of a stigma.
Stigma.
I didn't know any better. So, of course, if I were to see that, yeah, I would probably think that, because you've got two different people on the field. You're either cheering or you're being an athlete.
True, true.
And, you know, we don't have women in the athletes as far as, you know, high school goes, you know, mixed together. So it's like, if you're going to be a man on the field, it's got to be in football or basketball. It can't be you cheering or whatnot. But, you know, times have changed, man. Like, ballet dancing, cheerleading, dancing in general will get you the muscles. It will get you the strength. It will give you the size.
Ice skating,
people,
right?
People do those specific sports and you know, athleticism, and never have to work out a day in their life. And they get the body that they get. Everybody is all about Jonathan Bailey right now, and the legs and, like, his demeanor. Every single interview, he's like, I barely work out or whatever. It's the dancing. Allow your boys to dance if you want him to look like me. Done. Yeah, they do talk about that, and that's a really good point. So I didn't think my male cheerleaders were gay, but it was a choice, I thought. I was like, that is a choice. They are definitely standing out, you know, they're
and good for them, especially back in the day when we were going. Like, I can't even remember if we had male. Boy, I was checked out of evidently every sport and anything that had to do with yay school. clearly, because I'm like, male cheerleaders? Yeah.
So, let's meet your new leader, Torin Shipman.
While we're talking about all this and being back in the day, did you not feel when we pull up to that high school, when Torrance goes to school, that was 1999, I feel like, on film, like a real look into the frosted tips of all of those men out there, that dude just randomly playing the guitar. This was, to me, Hollywood's 1999.
After watching this movie again, and I remember even back then when I sat in this theater and I watched this, and this was also with the inclusion of Clueless, I wanted to live in California so bad.
Is this where it started?
Yes. So I wanted to live there so bad. It never rained. It was always sunny. Both movies are just so bright and rich looking, you know? And yeah, you know, bring it on. The folks didn't live in LA. The Clovers did. And you notice, like, we went there at night. There was more of a darker tone to it or whatever. I don't know if there was a point in making it look more urban or something. I don't know what it was. But yeah, they just made California so bright. And I was just like, I want to live there. It looks fun. Look what they're doing. It's palm trees and Jeeps and you know, people just having fun. And
they just sit outside school on blankets and have lunch, evidently.
Yeah.
How Buffy of them. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Buffy, holy cow.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Eliza Dushku is famously in this movie. Can I tell you, it was like Faith literally walked off the set of season 3, tattoo included. I don't know if that had to have been like a joke, right? Like a like tongue-in-cheek joke with, like, because Faith has a tattoo right there.
Well, they're giving her an edge. That's what it was.
Missy, is it? Okay, before we start, I'm afraid we're going to need to make sure you can do a standing back tuck. Standard procedure. You understand.
Standing back handspring back tuck, okay?
Where's this girl from? Romania?
And I hate to say this, but okay, later on she comes out of her bubble, but tell me she was not. Literally, it was Faith going to a cheerleader audition.
Oh, of course.
You know what? Okay, here we are. 1999. Yes, Eliza. But I love it.
This movie. So, you know, I have my husband, right?
Well, you have a few husbands.
I have a few, but you know, I have my husband. So, literally, this is the woman equivalent of my husband.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 minute?
Yeah.
I remember doing this the first season, and we were talking about crushes.
Yes.
And you said brunette slash Eliza slash Jennifer Love, I want to say, type.
It was Katie.
Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes.
I mean, just from Faith into this movie, I honestly, it just solidified my girl crush for her. I just am in love with this woman. So I just think she is so beautiful. I like, she is literally the type of woman that I am just like in awe of. I just, yeah.
But has an edge that could also kick your ass at the same time. Is that what it is? Like,
I just love when Torrance tries to call her out. All right, that's it. Come on, I'm going to kick her out. And she threw those keys, got out that car and looked at her. I was like, do you know what I do in Sunnydale? That look in her face. And then Torrance was like, okay, I was just bluffing.
Get in.
What the hell is up? I went out on a limb for you and you just bailed?
I'm not about stealing.
What are you talking about?
You ripped off those cheers.
Listen, Missy, our cheers are 100% original. Count the trophies.
Well, your trophies are bullshit because you're a sad-ass liar.
All right, that's it. Get out of the car. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Oh, really? You're in for a rude awakening. Get in.
What? No way.
For real. Get in.
So good. But yeah, I love Eliza Dushku. I know that she doesn't act as much anymore. You know, she's doing her own thing, but I love her. I wish she would stay and do more.
Been MIA for how many years now?
It's been a minute.
Not Dollhouse, right? There's been something after that.
No, I mean, she did a couple of like horror movies and stuff after that. And maybe an appearance here or there. Yeah, so that's what it was. So do you remember, I don't know if you know this, so CBS had a show called Bull. It was a jury, like court drama,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And it had Freddie Rodriguez in it, who I love. And she came on at the latest season as like sort of a little bit of an attachment to the team. And she did like a story arc for half the season. And that is honestly the last time that I saw her. Apparently, she did a movie in the same year, 2017, called The Saint. And that is pretty much the last thing that we've seen of her.
So wow.
But, you know, think about her in, you know, Jay and Silent Bob, Strike Back, and Wrong Turn. Like, this woman was everything back then. Loved her in Wrong Turn as well.
She had a string of movies, and she was the it girl for a little while. She also had some other movies that I remember, like, watching going, She was definitely something.
I transferred from Los Angeles. Your school has no gymnastics team, this is a last resort.
Okay, so I've never cheered before, so what? How about something that actually requires neurons?
Buffy alumni is again Claire Kramer, who played Glorificus in season 5, playing the character you would want to see her playing in these movies. It's basically snotty, rich, stuck up Gabrielle Union. Now, is this her first big thing?
Well, you'd have to describe big, right? Like, it really just...
Like, this was, like, the one that we really were like, Gabrielle Union, yes. Let's put her in more stuff now. Like,
she did a lot of things before, or I shouldn't say, yeah, a little bit before this, but here's the thing. You also have to think about sort of like these movies wanting these black characters in said films, right? So, I mean, we could say, yeah, you know, she hasn't really been anything, you know, prior to this, but it's like the opportunities weren't really there.
Was she in sitcoms?
So she did Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane. Do you remember that? Now, she wasn't a, you know, like a full cast member, but she did that. And then, yeah, Bring It On comes out. And yes, I think that's when she started to get more roles. And when we saw her in these roles, she was more noticed. But she got leads, she got, you know, parts or whatever in these films. I think most people really remember her, if it's not this, it's Bad Boys.
Oh,
because she played Bad Boys, you know, the little sister, and then her and Jessica had that spinoff that did okay.
Yes, they did.
It did like 2 seasons, I think, if I remember correctly. But yeah, like she did a stint on Friends. She was one of maybe 5 people on on Friends. I I'm only guessing. I can only remember Aisha three. I can only remember three, but I think, you know, she was one of them. And then, you know, again, she started to kind of come up here and there as, you know, supporting, but, you know, she started to take more leads along the line. And then she had her own show called Being Mary Jane, which was not really sort of broadcast in a lot of spaces. I think it was Netflix was the only thing that I remember, and I didn't get a chance to watch it, but that was her baby. And I remember her loving that show, and she kept it on for as long as she could. But to your point, yes, I guess Bring It On sort of like brought it up, but we have to think about, like, you know, She's All That and, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You, things like, you know, I know they came a little bit later, or no, 10 Things I Hate About You was before.
Must have been before, right? Yeah.
So given filming wise or whatever, you know, that was around the same time. Deliver Us From Eva is another big one that was, you know, because that was part of the whole Shakespeare adaptation era.
Oh, what a time. Yes, another time to be alive during that.
Ten Things and Deliver Us From Eva was the same plot of The Taming of the Shrew, Shakespeare. Those were the same story. So,
hey, Torrance, it's me, Cliff. I wrote something for you, so here it is.
Oh, Torrance, can't stand your cheerleading squad, but I love your pom-poms. I'd feed you bonbons all night.
Okay, along the same lines, I remember now Jesse Bradford. This is when I started taking note of him too. I mean, we were talking off camera, but Swim Fan was, I remember going, oh, I need to see this movie because...
I go back to Hackers. That was, I think, his first big role.
Hackers.
I noticed him from Hackers. That he was adorable in that too. But yeah, Jesse Bradford, I am actually surprised his career didn't take off more. And that,
me damn too.
I wonder if he was just typecasted, or maybe he decided to kind of take a step back, but like Jesse Bradford was it.
You know, and reading behind the scenes, he was not the first choice for this character, but can I tell you, even the plot point, it makes so much sense to get this opposite of what Torrance was used to. And it just works brilliantly, especially as the brother of Missy, Eliza Dushku's character, because that's a perfect, I think, match.
I also think that Bradford and Dushku played siblings really well. They look like they could be siblings, and I did enjoy their somewhat chemistry that we got.
Totally, totally. I enjoyed that. And the chemistry with everybody in this movie. Of course, we didn't mention her, but Kirsten Dunst is the star. To me, always likable in movies when she's playing this type of character. Her bubbly, Mary Jane, I could take or leave her as, but... You know, this is when I think of her. I think of her in this role in this movie. Of course, she's played so many other things.
Brittany, this is not a democracy. It's a cheerocracy. I'm sorry, but I'm overruling you.
Can I say I am such a bad gay? I'm so sorry. I only know some of this cheer. There are people who can recite this up and down, left, right. You can pick a word in the middle of it and they'll be able to finish it. I unfortunately just never got this cheer down, and I feel so horrible not knowing it because I should know it, but I do not. Do you know this cheer? Do you know it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. I mean, I remember like some parts of it, but no. If it was like a $1 million prize, I'd be out of luck too, Rob. I could tell you my favorite quote in this movie, though. Randomly, is "You've been touched by an angel." That is my favorite. I've been remembering that since 2000.
Yeah.
You've been touched by an angel, girl.
You've been touched by an angel. Oh my God. That's my quote.
This is a scene that we'll talk about later, but there was the part where they're in the car and they're on their way to the night game, I think. And, you know, Missy asks if, you know, Les is gay, and he goes, oh, fluently. And when he said, oh, fluently, I don't know, for some reason, the delivery of that line, I just thought was so good. It was so confident. Like, yes, I totally am. And
did I not remember her response?
I'll live with it. You'll be fighting out major ogres while we defend our sexuality.
What is your sexuality?
Well, Jan's straight. Well, I'm
controversial.
Are you trying to tell me you speak
Oh, fluently.
I must have watched the TV version so many damn times because I forgot that response. It is what it is. I didn't take, but I was just like, oh crap, that is such of that time.
It's just a weird thing to be like, we have to have this in the movie. And it's not even the only time. They say it, I think, two other times throughout the movie. And it's like, unless you are painting these rich kids as somebody who would say stuff like that, but it's also, you know, like Les kind of owns the word, I guess, so it doesn't offend him. And for the most part, I can't speak for all of gay community, right? But not many people find this word that offensive. But I think if it's not being written by somebody who is from the community, it should not be in the movie. And both the director and the writer are not gay, from my understanding. So I just don't see why this needed to be included. And it was throughout the movie. And so it just kind of sucked.
Quite interesting. They must cut it out completely in the TV version.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I watched the DVD. We're talking about the F word, people, if you have figured it out.
What you do is a tiny, pathetic subset of dancing. I will attempt to transform your robotic routines into poetry written with the human body. Follow me or perish, sweater monkeys.
Arky, the dance instructor. By the way, are you taking this dance instructor, Rob, or are you going Spice World, the general / music
oh
video
my
director?
God, you're hilarious. How dare you make me pick?
You the dance teacher, Mr. Step.
That is correct. I'm going to show you my port de bras, although that won't apply to you. Pinch it!
I'm going with the Spice World choreographer.
No spirit fingers, but...
The Spice Girls went on stage and killed it. So if it came from him, then I am going to pick him. Sparky's routine was... I would never pay. Like, if he presented this to me and I still had a choice on what I was... I mean, they just trusted him wholeheartedly because they were desperate and just had no time. If I saw him present this routine to me, I would fire him. There is absolutely no way I'm taking this routine to national. That's not even good for preliminaries. It just... I didn't understand what was so great about this routine. Also, the song even gives me cringe now. Like, I can't hear it without thinking about that horrible routine. I don't understand how he was able to get away with this with so many other squads.
Eight other ones, was it? Eight other teams.
They were just like, oh yes, I love this. Let's do it. Let's bring this to play. No, that was horrible. I would never pay him for that.
For comedy, yes, because even down to, which I've never noticed before, he had the stool, but there's bottles of pills and just this water on this stool. And I am laughing hysterically. I never noticed the pill bottles before. It just adds to this whole thing. And Rob's right, who saw this and went, oh my god, yes, for comedy, yes, okay, fantastic.
He was funny though. His whole scene was hilarious. He came in there and literally stole the scene.
He did.
In his entire like that. He was so funny. Ian Roberts, let's give him credit, this man came in 100 and just read everyone for filth. He didn't have a filter. Just the way that he was verbally abusing these poor kids, it was so good.
These are spirit fingers, and these are gold.
Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
think one of the biggest draws that I got from this movie is that it's still relevant today. However, we would never be able to make this today. And if we did make it today, this would be presented as a woke film. And I just find that to be ironic because, like, it's just funny. We wouldn't have had a film like this. I mean, you would say that it's a little ahead of its time, but everybody's all like woke, woke, woke. And it's like these films have been happening all of our lives. This movie's 25 years old. And if you presented it today, it would be considered woke. And it's like, well, then we had woke films since 25 years ago and even before. But again, there's so many great things that this movie brings to the table. And I think that it still is translated in a way that still speaks to today's audience. But man, if you were to really turn it into a movie for the Gen Z crowd, you know, you just kind of wonder what characters we would have gotten.
But at the same time, this dialogue would be completely different in a way too. So you could never do these body shaming jokes anymore in the way that man did it.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, you're right, like what would be the equivalent of that character on this modern lens?
But even back in 2000s, right? Like I still feel that this movie is sort of its own drum, right? There's something about the archetypes that are presented in this movie. They're not done in this polarized is the right word, but just this way of solidifying, like, this is the best friend. This is the nasty girl.
Right.
And we did get those, but like, Les was gay, but he wasn't, you know, like they didn't present him as like, oh yes, I am definitely the gay in the group, right?
Yes.
And even our emo kid, right? Like he didn't have the eyeliner and the makeup, but he loved the 70s rock and he loved, you know, the Clash and all of that. But yet he was just this like rich white boy in, you know, this gigantic mansion that they were living in. He's just like rocking out like he's just knows what pain is. And even Torrance was even like, she was a smart girl, right?
Right.
And we don't see cheerleaders as smart most of the time in these films. And like they made her intelligent and she, you know, was morally like just, you know, she wasn't completely superficial, you know, even though yes, she knew less of like the minute she found out that her cheers were stolen, she immediately regretted all of it. She questioned her career as a cheer, like all of that was great.
We don't have any tape.
Really? We just came to see the show.
What?
Come on, Isis, let me do this.
You know what? Let's go.
Wait a minute. So that's it? We're just gonna let them go?
Yeah. Because unlike them, we have class.
I swear I had no idea.
Well, now you do.
And even on the Clover side, you know, they could have all just been angry black women the whole entire time. And I don't know if you read the article that I sent you, but
yes, Gabrielle
Union, like she stood up for herself in this movie. And thank God our director, Peyton Reed, decided to really open up and listen from the source of how this woman should be speaking and acting and the way that she would handle herself within diversity. And Gabrielle had a lot to say and a lot of influence on who her character is in this movie. And so props to her for doing it, because we would have gotten a completely different, you know, character in Gabrielle Union. Why am I forgetting her name right now?
Isis?
Isis, yes, Isis.
Everyone has these names. Like,
yeah. What's also interesting though, one of the things that I would love to have more background on this, because the intention behind this is kind of messed up. And I think that movies still kind of do this today, but this one stands out to me a lot. Little context, one of my biggest memories of this movie in general is I was working at a theater at the time. You know, I was working at the movies and I made sure that I would finish my concession rush. If I was behind the counter, I would time my theater checks to match the beginning of this movie and its trailers.
Oh, I love this.
Because when I first saw this trailer, I was obsessed. This is one of the best trailers, I think, in all of all time, just depicting exactly what you're going to get. It just makes you so hyped up to watch a movie about cheerleaders. I just love the presentation of it. It just looks so good. Tie it all together with the Aqua song that doesn't get
spoken
about a lot. Aqua yes. Be Happy is such a great song. No one talks about it ever. Thank you. Listen to it. Go out and listen to the song. It's so good. But in the trailer, there are many scenes in this trailer that are cut from the movie. Some of it comes from the bloopers, but most of it from the Clover side is completely wiped from its storyline. And so again, from the source, we find out that through test footage and focus groups, people wanted more Clover footage. They wanted to know more about these cheerleaders and their side of the story and just sort of get a balance of these two rivals as equals, which would also explain the ending. If we got got more coverage of the Clovers, the ending would have popped even more.
Yeah.
But it turns out that after these focus groups and giving them the feedback, they decided to film those specific scenes you see in the trailer without any context or story behind it at all. It was to give the impression that we were going to see them more in the movie when they clearly knew from jump that they weren't going to do it. And that sucks. And I don't want to tarnish this movie and its incredible, you know, like reputation, but you just got to wonder what happened.
Okay, so many things jump out. So when test footage, when this happens, you think it's given enough time that they're able to do changes, and clearly they were able to now put these scenes together. Could it not have been added in though? I mean, yes, okay, you have an almost finished movie, but test screenings are for changes, and if you're going to take this cast anyway, to me there had to have been a way to add more scenes in. If you could recreate, I mean, this is now 25 years later, but the Sonic thing with the teeth, backlash like that, if you're able to redo a whole entire movie, you can't add two more scenes from the other side.
Usually it's always down to lengthwise, right? And then it's like, who is the focus? Do we put footage in that, you know, distracts you from the point of the film? And again, then this is why I like the ending so much, is because it wasn't about winning, it was about learning and just yes. sort of achieving something that's your own and not somebody else's. You know, and just we want to root for them because they are the stars of the show. But if you look at it, they don't know what they're doing. You know, it took them almost 90 minutes to just be like, let's do our own thing. They just would not stand up on their own 2 feet for the life of them.
So true.
Yeah, I wonder if it was too much of a distraction, or we'd be confused as to who to root for. Who's this movie about? Who knows? Or it could just be as plain and simple as we don't want to feature these Black people in this film. And that just could be it. I'm glad that Gabrielle stuck to this. I'm glad that she's in it. I'm glad that she took the opportunity. And I think that if she hadn't, she probably wouldn't have too many of the things that she's been doing right now. And I love her for it, because she bit a bullet to do better things. And I love that she's in it.
You want to make it right? Then when you go to nationals, bring it. Don't slack off because you feel sorry for us. That way, when we beat you, we'll know it's because we're better.
I'll bring it. Don't worry.
I never do.
The other thing that I just kind of want to talk about is just the idea that out of all of these teen movies out there, this is one of them that still sticks with us.
Yes.
We are still singing Burr, It's Cold in Here. We're still singing that. And like, nobody is going to forget that, and everybody is going to know where it's from. There's not going to be any confusion whatsoever. It is the ultimate cheer. I would not be surprised if schools today aren't using it in their school, you know?
I was just going to say that I bet you there's a whole generation that does that cheer and was introduced to Mickey, the song. I mean, it was a cover, but just that ending too, which evidently was added in much later. Everyone was wrapped filming. They just told them one day, you're going to lip sync to Mickey, which of course was a cheerleading themed music video song, but another thing that just holds up. But to your point, Rob, you described it perfectly. The characters are not stereotyped.
No.
That is why I think this holds up so much better than these other teen movies, and the intelligence that Torrance had, and even down to bullying. It's not that over the top. Like, I love Jawbreaker, but it's not that vicious, you're going to cut somebody with your tongue.
Our football team are considered the dorks of the movie, you know, like they don't win any games, you know. Even Jan defending his sexuality, while he was annoyed by it, he was still proud to be a cheerleader. This was a straight boy that we would never get in other movies. They would be so embarrassed and ridiculed and feel like they need to like do anything that they can. And trust me, his straightness still shined through this movie. He was still a straight man. I also just like the subtlety of like not everything was sort of like thrown down your throat. Like they gave Les a moment of him talking to a boy, and even somebody who looks like him can still be nervous about flirting and just sort of being gay in that time period. They just put it in there and it was fine. I thought that was enough to just be like, they acknowledge the fact that this man is gay and he's not just some, you know, guy that just hangs out with the women all the time. And you know, like, I just like the, and did you recognize the guy who he hit on, Riley Smith? He's been in everything. In fact, a lot of cheerleaders who were in that whole Nationals thing, a lot of them have been in other stuff. So many have just kind of popped up or whatever. But I think that this movie is still remembered after 25 years. It is one of the great.
Wow, nice check. Hey, I just want to say, you know, captain to captain, I respect what you guys did out there. You guys were good.
Thanks. You were better.
We were, huh?
My favorite part is that the lead characters, quote unquote, did not get to the top and win the championship. I appreciate that so much because it wasn't a story about that. It was a story about her realizing, like you were saying, everything is a lie, the cheerleading thing, coming up with their own thing, working on their own merits. And that small scene where Isis and Torrance have that moment and she's like...
That captain moment, yeah.
Hey, remember... Bring it.
And what the hell was that about?
We just understand each other, that's all.
This alternate ending, Rob, that was on the DVD, where they end up in college together, I think that should have been, of course, the sequel.
I didn't read about why they never made one. Maybe the team just all got busy and... Better Lives, they were all just plucked and like, nope, we're going in different directions, you guys can't be together. I think that was a nice ending, and I do enjoy that a part of it was just being a good captain, right? Like, you can't show any kind of weakness and you have to be kind of strong the whole time, because that is when they will take advantage of you. And that kind of speaks on the culture, especially when you're in a space that doesn't necessarily welcome you as much. So with that being said, I want to ask you, what did you think about the cheers that were presented in this movie? Did you enjoy like a lot of the routines that you saw? And who would you have picked? Honestly, which routine did you like better?
And in second place, and this was a tough decision, as there were two outstanding performances this year. In second place, from San Diego, California, the Rancho Corne Toros!
Second place, hell yeah!
Okay, so the cheers I enjoyed because of just nostalgia, I think. And seeing someone do something that I could never do, even just trying to balance somebody and like toss them up. If I see that, I'm always in awe. So besides the performance from our Spanky, like...
Which, by the way, for a high school competition, most of those routines would not even be allowed. They'd be illegal. You could not pull those moves... in a high school that no tier thing. Yeah, you couldn't do it at all. But
I feel like I would have to give it to the Toros only because... No.
You can say Toros. You like the music.
I like them. Yes, I like the music, but the Clovers, because of their merit and then having to try to pay their way into, by the way, getting on Pauletta talk show. I feel like it was deserved.
Dear Pauletta, where we come from, cheer is not a word that you hear very often, but that's what we are. The cheerleaders of East Compton High School. They should really call us inspiration leaders, because that's what we do. We inspire the people from our neighborhoods to believe that our team can win. That's why we're asking you to fulfill our wish to send us to the National Cheerleading Competition for the first time. Well, Clovers, you got your wish.
Another great thing about this movie is that you can watch these Cheers 25 years later and be like, they deserve the flowers. This was not cringe. This is not cheesy. I don't know what cheerleading competitions look like today, but from my eyes, this looked like very professional work. And that final cheer from the Clovers was everything. It was so good. Those, like, just thinking back on that day, like watching it now, you're just like, how did you pull that off? But it was just so cool. It was just really cool. And I still got chills watching. I like the songs in this one too, in their routine. And you know, the Turtles definitely did do good. That first part where they do all of those hand movements, I mean, it was 100 immediately, and it was definitely an improvement of what they were doing throughout the whole movie. You didn't really expect that. But the Clovers, oh my God, just boom, boom, when they were all just like going, oh my God, it's so good. It's so good.
And you don't always have to have, again, your main characters be the winners to win in the end, because they all ended up happy. They all ended up learning lessons. Some of them ended up with handsome men on their side.
The last thing that I'll say is that our director popped up in a cameo. Not that, I mean, I don't know how familiar everyone is with Peyton Reed. He is now mostly famous for doing the Ant-Man trilogy.
Oh, is that he does? Oh.
Yeah, he directs those. But yeah, he popped up in his own movie. Do you remember when they were all learning choreo for their new cheer at finals? And they were taking, you know, bits and pieces from all these different types of dance.
Yes.
And then she was like, including miming. And the mime was our director.
How funny is that?
Yeah.
I like when a director can put themselves in a film like that. The mime of all things. Oh, by the way, the spirit stick scene totally still makes me laugh hysterical when those girls jump to try to catch that spirit stick. And then the anyone who drops it goes to Hades. Like, not even hell. Hades. So damn funny, Rob.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So, Rob, of course, we live in the land of reboots and remakes. And as of April, Kirsten Dunst says that she is game for a Bring It On sequel.
Funny.
The director, also Peyton Reed, that you mentioned, has spoke to Gabrielle, and she has not only ideas, but great ideas. So this is something that we hope we can continue to discuss. Obviously, 20 years later, we would come at the movie from a totally different direction.
It's funny because, you know, like, Gabrielle, do you remember that one year with her and her daughter and they dressed up like Clovers for Halloween?
Yes, that was...
And again, it's just another example of how relevant this movie is. I would definitely welcome a legacy sequel to this. These two grown women leading into, you know, another set of, I don't know, maybe they're captains of a more professional squad that they're trying to, you know, get through. And like you said, they have ideas. I'm gonna let them do it. I don't have any business writing, but I would totally welcome a sequel. And does it have to have the entire cast come back? Absolutely not. Does it need to be the same tone? I don't think it needs to. They can do whatever they want. I would totally welcome a follow-up to what these women are doing right now.
You answered my question, because I was going to ask you, I think a sequel should not focus on cheerleading. I like your idea of maybe even, I would say Isis maybe being like a coach, and then having Torrance not like do anything with cheerleading, and her thinking, oh my God, it could have been like a cheerleader. There's so many opportunities, but like you said, just seeing these women where they are now, of course, Eliza would have to come back. I mean,
I would love it if she did. Yeah.
Jesse, but give Isis more of a starring role, like have it be the two of them.
I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but like the Black culture definitely remembers this movie. They will never forget about the Clovers ever. Like it's embedded. We will support the Clovers in whatever they do. So pun intended, do
bring it on.
Yeah. Bring on a sequel. We would love it. We would love it.
Just to add a nostalgic twist to this, I went back on IMDb to see what reviews were like at the time. So this is from August 29th of 2000, Rob. Get this. the most depressing movie I have ever seen. Just to summarize this, sort Bring It On, it was more painful than having my wisdom teeth removed. How has this film made $17 million in one weekend? And by the way, this is the best part of it. As I was watching, I began to realize that each scene was getting worse and worse. What's more depressing is that while the movie played, I actually heard young people laughing. Is this humorous to them? Oh my God. Well, 25 years later, we're still laughing. So
we're still laughing. Yeah.
Young people laughing. I heard young people laughing.
Yeah, movies sometimes do hit a nerve and they're not for everyone. And that's okay. That is quite all right.
So along those lines, Rob, if someone didn't like this movie or if they did, do you have any recommendations for us?
Rob's recommendations.
I do. I hope I do it justice this week. I don't like repeating titles, but I just want to make sure you guys are getting sort of what you came for and Bring It On, and if you did or didn't get it. So here are some titles that I think you might like. If you did like Bring It On, the first one I'm going to recommend actually comes from the same writer of Bring It On, Jessica Bendinger. She wrote Stick It from 2006. So she wrote Stick It. So I definitely recommend that if you enjoyed the script from Bring It On. Another movie very similar to Bring It On, which kind of comes into, you know, there's a little bit of a racial plot line in this and just sort of stepping into the world of another and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Bring It On reminds me a lot of Sister Act 2.
You know, and there is a competition.
Yeah. Yeah. There's competition. There's the mixing of culture and races and all of that stuff. And Sister Act 2 is also funny. I today find it a little cringe in some parts, but overall, I think this was also a really feel-good movie and deserves a rewatch if you haven't seen it lately. I think that you'd get the same feelings from this if you liked Bring It On. The third slot, this could go either way, and I think because the one of them is just kind of like an obvious pick, and that's Save the Last Dance. I mean, but everybody knows about that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the alternative is something that you don't really hear many people talk about. I can't remember if I've recommended this before, so I apologize, but it's another Kirsten Dunst film. It's Get Over It.
I don't think you did.
I think that Get Over It, out of most of our Shakespearean adaptations, it is up there. I think that it's a wonderful story because of Midsummer's Night Dream. I enjoy that story as well. So I like the tone of it. It's camp, but they lean into it. They're not trying to be this fabricated world of what high school really is. I think some of the arcs and themes that are talked about in this film are very grounded and today. And aside from the music video we got in the beginning with Vitamin C, I love that theme so much. But like, you know, like the appearance of Cisco.
Cisco's in this movie.
And like Kirsten Dunst singing that really beautiful song on stage. I enjoy that song a lot. And again, I will always praise Ben Foster in whatever he does. I just think he's a wonderful actor. So I liked Get Over It. I thought it was fun. And I think that those two movies have this sort of flair that can give you sort of the same sort of feeling that you got from Bring It On. So those are my recommendations for that. Now, if you did not like this movie, I mean, you can easily, like, watch horror movies if you don't like Bring It On. You know, like, just go opposite, right? No, but I'm going to try and give you just a little bit more of a grittier side to what Bring It On was, because, you know, everybody was happy. You know, nobody got in trouble. Nobody got shot. Nobody, you know, even we had an accident from a tower. She broke her leg and it was funny. This woman's misfortune, right? But these titles are a little bit grittier, a little raunchier, a little bit more adult than Bring It On. So the first one, Sugar and Spice.
Yes, 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 yes.
Gabrielle also went on record and said that they did not want any black people on here, Robin Banks or whatever. So she didn't have any way of getting into this movie just by auditioning. And so she just chose Bring It On instead.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't want it. They didn't want it. So, but yeah, Sugar and Spice. It's a little bit of Heather's meets, you know, cheerleading and all of that, but it's just grittier.
There's masks involved.
Exactly. a movie that I think might serve a little bit more of the dancing that you probably would have liked to have seen in here, aka more Clovers. I'm suggesting watching You Got Served. It's not cheerleading, but it is step. It's break dancing. It's, you know, I think that the dance routines in this film will definitely scratch that itch that you probably did not get much of in Bring It On. I was going to suggest Drumline, but I have not seen that in a while, so I can't really say if that's still a good movie or not today, but that definitely is along the lines of Bring It On, just with the whole just being on the team or whatever. But You Got Served has some great dance routines, and so if you like that type of dancing, you know, definitely watch it. This is the other thing that I brought up earlier in the episode when we were talking about Hayden being a cheerleader more than once. She actually was a cheerleader for a third time in this teen rom-com called I Love You, Beth Cooper.
I never saw this movie.
Really? You should watch it.
So she's a cheerleader.
So she is a cheerleader in that one too. And I chose this because Bring It On has a underdog story. And a lot of the people that you are used to seeing on the top, not necessarily are brought down, but they're not the central focus, or that's not what this movie is about. It's a little bit about watching the underdogs sort of get their, you know, their flowers. And so for anyone who has not heard of this, a nerdy valedictorian proclaims his love for Beth Cooper. So he gets on stage, he does the speech in front of everybody in the school. He says, "The hottest and most popular girl, Beth Cooper, I love you," during his speech. And that very night, you'd think that everybody would be like making fun of him, or she'd be embarrassed and like, "Oh my God, I can't believe this nerd boy said this." She actually shows up at his door, offering to show him the best night of his life on graduation. And she gives him a chance. It's like,
no pretense, no, for no reason, not like any alternative motives.
And if I remember this movie correctly, I don't think there were alternative motives. What this movie did was challenge sort of this nerdy guy. It's like, we can say all these things, we can have all these fantasies, and then when it's presented to you, what do you do with it? And do you believe in the opportunity and the chance that has been given to you? You know, like, we can sit here all day and be like, oh, these guys all have it lucky and blah, blah, blah. Well, here's your chance. But sometimes it's hard to just turn on a switch and be like, yeah, this girl likes me. Is she making fun of me? We don't know. And I think that this movie did a really good job with that storyline. So I love you, Beth Cooper.
Check Never in a million years would I have guessed that was the storyline. So yes, I like that already.
I also want to give one shout out to an inspired movie that I would love to see just from watching Bring It On. And it is the horror comedy Cheer or Die. I have not seen it. I want to see it now. I haven't seen all the rest of the Bring It Ons. I've only seen up to four. But this one, I definitely want to check out. I remember when it got advertised and I completely forgot to watch it. I am so curious how this movie is presented as a horror film. But that is definitely something that I'm going to watch. And just to prove to you guys that I do this, my inspired Christmas movie I ended up watching on Christmas Day, Rare Exports, and it turned out to be better than I thought it would, even with a twist, which I thought was great.
So you still recommend it then?
I do, actually, yeah.
And yes, because I think I need to see it too, Rob, because how does he go from this to become a horror comedy in number 7? Like, that alone, yeah. Well, that journey.
I mean, none of these stories are connected to the previous ones, right? Like, it's just another school dealing with the same cheerleading aspect of it or whatever. So I don't think it will tie, but just the name alone is supposed to make people interested. I don't know.
Well, that's true, isn't that? That's probably the only reason, because of the Bring It On. Let's hope they reboot it and do that 25-year anniversary with our leads. That was another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind podcast. We are always looking for new reviews. If you want to set off our 2025 right, we're stuck at 21 views currently, and we would love to get those reviews up maybe before the end of the summer. And oh, Rob, we never even announced officially our summer theme. Would you like to tell everybody what we will be doing for summer?
Yes. So we have decided to go back to our horror roots. We are doing a summer of horror once again and decided to do our iconic Robert Englund Freddy Krueger. So we are going to be doing all of Nightmare on Elm Street. I am very, very excited for this.
And Rob, this really is a official 5-year callback to our first season and doing all of the Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think this would be a really nice way to end our fifth season.
I remember watching this series all the way through, and I'll share some of his insights when we get to the summer, but I introduced this to someone who has never seen anything past the first one. And so I got to witness someone watching this consecutively, the sequels, and yeah, what a journey. And then, you know, with the documentary on top of that, yeah, it was a fun ride to rewatch this over and over again. So yeah, I look forward to watching this and doing more of the episodes of David too. So
it was this the same friend that you introduced Friday as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, we went through Friday and Chucky. He had never seen any of the sequels.
Wow, and Chucky too.
Yeah. So right now we're watching the Chucky documentary. We're not finished with it yet, but they're covering the whole series with it, and I think we watched part 1 and 2 first, and so we just got to watch the rest of them, and then if we have time, I think we're gonna do Hellraiser next. It'll be new to me because I've only seen the first Hellraiser, so I this will be a journey for me too. Oh yeah, the first one and the last one. I saw Bloodlines.
You could reach Rob at Rob the Movie Geek, one word, on Instagram, as well as the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast, one word, also on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and beyond. And we will see you next time, Radical Ones. Goodbye and
bye.
Stay radical.
I'm sexy, I'm cute, I'm popular to boot. I'm bitchin', great hair, the boys all love to stare. I want it, I'm hot, I'm everything you're not. I'm pretty, I'm cool, I dominate the school. Who am I? Just guess. Guys wanna touch my chest. I'm rockin', I smile, and anything I'm vile. I'm flying, I jump, you can look but don't you hope. Whoa, I'm major, I roar, I swear I'm not a whore. We cheer and we lead, we act like we're on speed. Hate us cause we're beautiful, but we don't like you either. We're cheerleaders, we are cheerleaders.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.